This is the 2v2 podcast. Daddy, Dave,
and Steve
are awesome.
And Trisha was like, she was answering every question.
Yeah.
She got that, and then she got tired of having it, so I'm like, we can't get rid of that.
Yeah. Yeah, you kind of got to keep it. That's pretty neat. Oh, yeah, so anyways, man, first off, we'll just go, hey, everybody, welcome to 2BT. 1 year anniversary.
1 year.
1 year. Does it feel like we've been doing it for a year?
Not really.
I was going to do this real fast. Hold on, I actually got something here. I'm just going to do this. Probably sound better right there. There we go. Get it from the front of the microphone.
Get it right, Dave. You've been doing it a year.
Anniversary. Been here for years. Gave a lot of things, but was mostly tears. Anyways.
We're back where we started, too.
I know, right? Back in the original scene of the comic.
It took a year to get you back to my house.
Hey, I've said any time I would be game to come back. Whoa, dude, that is going off the scale there.
There's something special about Echo Base, though.
It just
feels like home.
It is. It does, man. But I do enjoy coming out here also because, like, that's one thing I was saying, like, thinking as I was coming out here. Hold on, let me finish my story. I was going to tell you, like, before we started recording. And so.
Yeah, that's a gift card.
So I had a $50 gift card from Amazon. I don't need to run down the whole list of how I got it. But anyways, I got this $50 gift card from Amazon.
It involved a lot of illicit activities.
Exactly. You know, I got sores on my knees. But
oh, I'm going to cut that out. No, don't leave it.
Yeah, you got to leave it.
Because it makes you look bad.
Yeah, it looks makes. But anyways, what's going on here? I'm getting a weird register. Anyways, we're just going to keep on going because it would just be like the first show where I forgot to
record.
Yeah. Well, no, like we recorded, but we weren't, the microphones weren't.
It wasn't the first
working.
Show. It was the first three shows.
Yeah, basically. So anyways, so I get this $50 gift card and I was sitting there looking the other day and I was trying to figure out like what I was going to get it. Like, cause like I play video games, but like there wasn't anything out that I really just had to have, especially because it's on Thursday and I knew a lot of sales were going to be happening the next day. And then even PlayStation, like the PlayStation store was having a bunch of sales and one of the games that I wanted on there was like $21.99. So I'm not going to pay full price for it just because I've got a $50 gift card. So I was like, what do I do? And so like I started looking and I was like, man, I do like that new Kindle that Michael just got.
Yeah.
So I get on there and I start looking at Kindles and it pops up and it says, hey, we realize that you have two Kindles registered to your account. Would you like to trade those in? And I was like, well, let's just see how much they'll give me. So they're like, it's like $30 for one and $10 for another one. And I was like,
that's not nothing.
Yeah, that's not nothing. I was like, okay, cool. And so I hit okay. And it goes, well, good. You know, we'll send you the packing labels. You send them in. But also, since you're doing that, here's an extra 20% off anything that you want to buy. So I've got a $50 gift card, $40 in trade-ins, plus a 20% off thing. So I got a 64 gig Kindle 10.
Good choice.
Yeah, 64 gig Kindle 10 for $10.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Cause it was $119 after like my $50 gift card, the $40 trade in plus the 20% off. All I had left over to pay on it was $10.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm so jealous of you.
So I was like, that's awesome.
That worked out really cool.
Heck yeah, dude. I'm stoked about it.
So what have you done that's so awesome to deserve all this good karma coming your way?
I've got like good quality at work, I guess, or something like that. I didn't get in trouble. Well, it's not getting in trouble. It's like I put out good product for over a month. Well, it's been multiple months because they give us like beans. They're like, here's your share. And it's like, but yeah, you go long enough and you can trade them in for Amazon gift cards.
That's pretty awesome though.
So, yeah.
And when, so you're looking, that Kindle has been a huge boon to my life. It's been really cool to have.
I bet so,
it's
man.
Such a big, the screen is so large.
Yeah. I actually cannot wait to get mine in, man. Like it's supposed to be arriving today and I'm pretty sure that the alert that I just had on my doorbell alarm or whatever you want to call it was them dropping it off. I was like, oh man. Yeah. So
we should check the video and see if it was.
Oh, let's do it real fast. Let's see if they See if it's a, it's kind of funny because a lot of those guys, like UPS will come up and like place stuff like properly on the front porch and stuff, kind of like hidden out of the way or whatever.
Yeah.
Where like the U.S. Postal Service, they just come up and just like sling it. A lot of times they put it on my, like, I've got that porch swing that's like right there in plain view for everybody to see.
Yeah.
They just come up and drop boxes on that, like, cause they don't want to bend over, or they'll just come up and sling it on that porch swing. Oh, you know what?
I'm nervous for you now though, cause this is the time of year thieves like to steal packages.
That's okay, but I've got the ring.
You'll see them. Yeah.
So if they do, I've still got a video of it. It would be a kid from my neighborhood that would be doing it, I can guarantee you.
Oh.
So,
go play.
Yeah. So I could just go door to door and be like, hey, is this your kid? Cause he's going to get a foot. But yeah, happy Thanksgiving also,
happy
man.
Thanksgiving to everybody.
Yeah. It's good
I'm
times.
Still full.
Dude, tell me about it. Like, I know you had what, like two in a row?
Yeah. Thursday, I went to my sister's and with her husband cooking. He fried two turkeys.
Yeah.
My wife cooked a bunch of stuff and everybody had different kinds of filling foods, and then yesterday we had it here again at my house on Friday for my wife's family, and somehow, you know, I like to cook, right?
But
I've never cooked a Thanksgiving dinner, but somehow I'm the person that gets assigned the role of cooking. The most terrifying job is cooking the turkey.
Yeah.
And out of everybody that is qualified and capable to do it, they look at me and say, you're the one cooking the turkey. So I've done it twice, and this year turned out the best, and I just, like, I don't know what I'm doing. I just follow the simplest recipe I can.
So how did you cook it then?
I roasted it in a roasting oven.
Okay.
And I found a very, very simple recipe that said salt the cavity, butter and oil. It said butter or oil, so I went overboard and put olive oil all over the bird.
Yeah.
And then buttered all over the bird. And then I injected it.
Heck yeah.
And then I added different seasonings to the outside and inside of the cavity. And it turned out remarkably good.
Yeah.
I mean, not to toot my own horn, but everybody's like, dang, that's really good.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is it? Or am I just because, you know.
Just because, like.
I don't like turkey.
Oh, yeah.
But it tastes pretty good. It tasted pretty good.
See, that's me. I'm not a big turkey fan myself. Like, whenever it comes to like turkey or ham, I go straight for the ham.
Well,
I'm a poor guy. But yeah, I was curious about that because, you know, I always see these people and they're like, you know, they'll be like prepping the turkey and stuff and they'll like, you know, smear it down with butter, which that's fine with me because, I mean, who doesn't love butter?
You
know, they'll smear it down with butter and then they'll like take the skin and kind of separate the skin from the body and then like shove like lots of butter between the skin and the actual bird or whatever. And then inject it with like all sorts of stuff or whatever.
Well, one of the key things is it said turn the roaster up to its highest setting for 30 minutes when you put the bird in.
Okay.
And that's like, that's to get the skin really good color to it and crisp it up some. Then you turn it down. But there's something I do. My bird never looks right when it's done.
Oh, really?
It's kind of scary looking. Because, you know, when you do barbecue, like ribs or something falling off the bone, my bird literally falls apart.
Oh, wow.
It's falling off the bone. And I don't know what it is I'm doing wrong, but it tastes good.
I wouldn't say that's wrong if it's like falling off the bone and stuff like that. To me, that seems like that's kind of like what you want.
I had to have help. We got it transferred to one plate and then I started just kind of cutting and making the pieces. Of course, I go for the dark meat.
Yeah. No, that's kind of the same here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But enough about my attempts at cooking a turkey. But it tasted good.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
What did you do for Thanksgiving?
I made the green bean casserole, man. I've got a specialty that's the green bean casserole. And now I've never really been that much of a fan of green bean casserole, but like the one that I make is pretty awesome. Like, you know, you use your regular, you know, it's like your cans of green bean. I use cream of chicken soup because I don't like cream of mushroom.
Right.
I don't like mushrooms, period. But, you know, your cream of chicken soup, it's like four cans of green beans, two cans of cream of chicken soup. And then I put cheese in it, man. Some Velveeta cheese, like half a block of the Velveeta cheese. And it turns out freaking awesome, dude.
Yeah, that stuff is, there's some evil voodoo in that that makes it so good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, that's kind of like, it's one of those things that always makes me chuckle is like, you know, like you see people that are doing like queso and stuff and they're like, yeah, I use this blah, 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 like expensive cheese. And I'm like, no, dude, it's like cheap cheese. you know, you don't even use cheddar for that. You get that Velveeta stuff and you melt it down and it's all good to go.
Well, you just tried an experiment, didn't you, with a, I mean, it's no secret. You have a deep love for chorizo.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You tried something new.
I forgot about that, man. Dadgummit, I was going to make that and bring that over here. I'll just have to do that for the family Christmas or something like that. But yeah, man, I did a thing where it's like, I kind of like stole the Chili's recipe off the internet for their queso or whatever. And, instead of like using chili, I use chorizo, and I did throw a little bit of chili in there. I didn't do the whole can of like Hormel or whatever and stuff like that, but I threw chorizo in there and made the recipe as how it says on the internet. But it says add milk. Instead of using milk, I used Corona. Dude, like, that was pretty
happy decision there. Huh?
Yeah, because, I mean, like, you cook it with it in there, so it's not like there's any alcohol left in it or whatever. And it's like, as you're eating it, as it's hot and stuff like that, you don't really taste the beer or anything like that. But, like, it's kind of funny because once it sets and cools down and, like, solidifies or whatever, if you sniff it, it smells like beer. I was like, oh, wow, that's kind of neat. But yeah, I don't know. It was a delightful, like I said, it was just kind of one of those things where it's like, I wonder how this will turn out.
We're still going to have to try our chorizo burger.
Yeah. Yeah. We just need to have chorizo day.
Chorizo chili fries.
Yeah.
Chorizo, I like it. Queso and chorizo burger with a chorizo bun.
Should we just do chorizo poutine? Because it's like, if we do chili, you got to throw on some cheese. And if we're going to throw on some cheese, might as well throw on some gravy on there or something like that.
Sounds good.
Yeah. I've never had poutine. It's one of those things I've always wanted to try because it sounds just, I mean, amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, what is it? Basically like French fries with like gravy and cheese.
I think so.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Good thing I'm not hungry. I'd be really hungry talking about all this right now, but I'm still so full.
It's like yesterday, like for lunch, you know, I had all I had for lunch. Well, I say lunch. It was like lunch slash dinner. I just dinner. I basically just had leftover green bean casserole, and that was all I had, and banana pudding because, banana pudding. There's like. There's something special about banana pudding. Like, it's like one of the tops out of all the desserts. Like, as you're going down, okay, so Michael Sparkman, as you're going past the dessert table at like the family holiday functions, what is the one thing that you're like, I gotta have?
Pecan pie.
Okay, yeah.
And banana pudding.
Yeah.
If those two things are there, I'm getting both.
Oh, God, yeah.
Good old fashioned, my wife made her grandmother's chocolate pie.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, yesterday I had.
Did she do the meringue on top?
Oh, yeah.
She
made it perfect. I don't know how it's like chemistry watching her do that, blending it and doing all that. But, my sister in law made the banana pudding and my wife made the chocolate pie. So I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to be sick for all afternoon because I'm eating both. Yeah, it laid me up for a while.
Heck yeah, dude. That's a good layup though, man. Like yesterday, it's you know, Thursday I ate so much I couldn't hardly move. And then finally, like I finally left, you know, my parents' house, I guess it's somewhere around like 2:30. I had to get home before the football game. You know, leave my parents' house at like 2:30 and I really basically didn't move once I got home. I was like, dog needed to go outside. I'm like, okay, let's go outside. Mm-hmm. But of course, didn't eat another blasted thing. And then I had the leftover green bean casserole yesterday because I got to make two because it's one of those that just gets annihilated during dinner or whatever. So I had the leftover of that yesterday. And that was seriously like my lunch / dinner yesterday. So I was like, oh, okay, cool.
It must be good.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, it gets, cause like, I don't know, like you're only supposed to use like one of the small little cans of fried onions to throw on top. I love those things, dude. I'll throw those things on burgers. And have you seen that they have like fried jalapenos now?
No.
Dude.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Get you those. That's, oh, That's it. We're going to grab some of those. Whatever. We do the chorizo burger.
Yeah, because we were talking about private messaging the other day about, like, what are you, because it can't just be, you got to have a really good cheese choice. Yeah. You got to have a great bun choice. And, you know, what kind of
condiments and things like that? Because you don't want to just roll with like regular ketchup and mustard.
And I mean, that's fine. Like a remoulade.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Cajun spicy aioli kind of thing.
Yeah. I'm totally game for that because that sounds freaking awesome.
You will use ranch dressing.
Yeah.
As a base instead of
mayonnaise.
When I suggested, I could, even though I couldn't see your face, I could see you making the ooh face.
No, that's one of those things where it's like, wow, I just saw your map up there you were talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, that's freaking cool, dude.
Native culture.
Sorry, I totally got like sidetracked just then. But yeah, actually the mayonnaise base sounded really good, but I'm just kind of like trying to think of things like,
yeah,
do it a little bit different or whatever. Maybe throw ranch in there or
ranch
something like
that. Ranch is always good on everything.
I mean, what? Yeah, exactly. That's what I was saying. You know, like ranch pretty much goes great on
ice cream.
It's a honky sauce, dude.
Cinnamon rolls. Yeah. It's good on all that.
Yeah. Cinnamon rolls. That's one thing that, I don't think I'd try it on cinnamon rolls, man.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
I try crazy things. Like my wife, I'm like, why don't we try mixing this with this? And she just gives me this look like, gee, did would you just stop suggesting weird things? And I'm like, you would, if you saw this on a TV show, Bourdain or somebody said, you'd think, oh, this is genius.
Yeah.
And who ever thought of mixing these two things? But it's me. So whatever. I'm used to it. I'm used to being the. Sometimes I'm right, though. Sometimes she's like, you know, that actually turned out pretty good.
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to guinea pig it and do it yourself. And then,
yeah,
you know, but do you ever do that and like guinea pig it and try it yourself and then, you know, tell them it's great whenever it's really just horrible?
No,
no,
no. I'm never wrong in my choices. It's always delicious. No, I screw up.
Yeah.
I'm an over seasoner.
Oh, okay.
And I've learned that sometimes you just got to keep it simple. Keep it simple is usually the best.
Yeah.
I like, well, I'm going to put this seasoning, this paprika in there. I'm going to go grab five other seasons and put them in there too. Cause I want this to taste awesome. Well, and I screw it up. So like chili, my chili always turns out I put too much in.
Oh yeah.
Of different things. And
yeah, chili's one of those sensitive things.
Yeah.
You know, to where it's like, you can put too much crap in there because if you put too much crap in there, it's going to be stew.
Yeah.
You know, or you can over season it. But I mean, I guess it's kind of like, I don't know if you can really over season it because it's one of those that you're going to cook it for a while. So, but yeah, man, I've had some chilies that I was like, that wasn't the greatest, but I've never really had just like a bad chili to where I was like, that was horrible. You know,
no, you haven't had mine.
Yeah. Oh, is it bad?
I've made a couple that were really bad. And, you know, it's like, God, I've made way too much of this. I have to eat it.
Yeah.
You know, a good simple bowl of, you know, like Jay would call it Texas Red.
Yeah.
Is like the perfect chili, though. No beans.
Oh, no beans. No beans. Yeah. And, actually, what was it? I actually heard something other. Well, it's been a while. I actually read something the other day that was explaining the whole, like, Texas chili and why there's no beans in it or whatever. Yeah. And I think it was something to do with like the whole plains and like, you know, cattle drives and stuff like that, where the popular thing to eat on cattle drives was beans because it was dehydrated. They're easily keyed, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why there wasn't a lot of beans in chili in this part of the world, because it was like kind of looked upon as like not necessarily like a lower class food, but yeah, kind of like a lower class food because it's like it was like a trail type food, I guess, or whatever, you know.
Interesting. You have to send me that link.
I'll have to find it. Like I said, it's been a while since I read it, but it was pretty neat. It's one of those things that just like, oh hey, that captured my eye, let me read this. Whatever, you know. It's kind of like the have you seen the article about, and this is just recently, where a dude he was a missionary who got killed by some tribe of people like out off the India coast. Sentinel, I think is what it is.
I saw the headline for that, I think.
Yeah.
I didn't really follow the go into the article.
Yeah, I got interested in it because one of the things that stood out to me was I think they said that those people basically have been in that place for like 30,000 years.
Wow.
So it's like, wow, it's one of those where it's like, that would be really interesting if they weren't so protected and like, because it's like they are seriously like set up to where it's like, you can't go in here.
Yeah.
You know, like the Indian government or whoever it is actually like protecting them and telling people like, don't go. Like that guy who got killed recently, he wasn't supposed to go out there, but he was like, they got to hear the word of God.
Yeah.
You know, to each their own, you know, he made a bad decision. He paid for it with his life. That sucks. I'm sorry for you. But like, it would be neat if they would let some sort of like archaeologists or anthropologists in there to kind of go in and study just to kind of see if there's any sort of old like ruins and things like that, especially with the stuff that we've been talking about lately with the whole Graham Hancock stuff.
That's a really sensitive balance there though.
Yeah.
It's like those tribes in South America and the Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
They know there are tribes that haven't really had contact with anybody. And they're like, you're not supposed to go.
Yeah, you're not supposed to go anywhere near them.
And I'm always fascinated with like the drone footage. Like there's one guy that's left in his tribe. Others had died. They actually had a conflict with some loggers or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember reading about that.
The one guy still there showed him he was chopping down a log.
Really?
And the drone flew over and he's the only one left from his people.
Huh.
Just living out there. And he's like, we were talking about earlier before the show started. Like if everything really went terrible, he's the guy that's going to outlive everybody
because right.
He is right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So like one of those, like, cause it was what we were talking about, calderas or whatnot or what, whatever. If one of those, if a caldera, like say Yellowstone erupted, exploded, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Would we survive? I don't know, man. That's a tough one because it's like, I don't know enough. I don't know anything about foraging. Like I could hunt and I could shoot, but eventually you're going to run out of bullets. So
my wife and I had a long discussion about this last night because I was talking about some of the stuff we talked about, and that whole notion is like the things we don't know is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now, like 100 years ago, our grandparents knew how to survive.
Oh yeah.
They were not far removed from the people that moved out here in the 1850s that could survive.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah.
Oh, no electricity. No Kindle, no Dish Network, no this, no that, no YouTube, no Google to tell me what to do. I don't need it because, you know, digging a well.
Yeah.
Or
I don't have the first idea.
I've inspected wells that people have, like the old wells. I'm like, how did they do this? You just go into this thing and you're actually just shoveling 50 feet in the ground and hoping somebody can pull you out.
Yeah, say the devil with it and like stop whenever you hit water. Like, how does it, like, how do you know? Like, it's like, okay, this is going to be deep
enough. And who's the first person to say, I'm going to dig till I find water? How do they know water was under there?
Yeah, I guess they had those divining rods. Yeah, yeah, no, exactly, man. It is definitely one of those things because what, y'all have well water, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I guess it's kind of like the same thing. Did y'all have to hire like a geologist to come out and like be like, this is your best place to find water or whatever?
No, they just dug a hole.
Oh, they did? Oh,
they just started drilling.
I wasn't sure they had like those divining rods or whatever they're called, those little things that they walk and they cross and they're like, hey, dig right here. There's water down here.
I know what you're talking. I've done that and it works.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Use the welling rods.
Really? So what is it?
And I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to say I know.
Yeah.
I know it works because I've had to find water lines before without having really a good idea where it was.
Yeah.
And they will cross.
That's pretty crazy.
Will turn. Something about when you cross that water.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's magic.
Hmm.
See? It's just magic. I'm sure there's a scientific explanation. I've read about it.
Yeah.
And there's like competing ideas, but no one I don't think really understands why it works. Or there's witching with sticks.
Yeah.
Water witchers. I've seen like a video of old guys from, this was in the 70s. I'd see a video at school or something of an old guy with a stick.
Yeah.
And he'd find the water.
Really?
With a witching stick, yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I think I've seen that. They kind of like make almost like a horseshoe type, not horseshoe, but a wishbone type look or whatever. Yeah. It's crazy.
So you keep talking. I'm going to show you what I'm going to fall back on when everything falls apart.
Oh, yeah.
I'm prepared this much. I know my Google's not going to work. I'm not going to be able to watch a YouTube video on how to decide if this mushroom is going to kill me or not. I don't want to go out like the guy in Into the Wild and eat the wrong kind of potato and die.
What?
You never watched Into the Wild?
I don't think so, no.
You got a homework assignment. It's one of my favorite movies.
Oh, okay.
Kid that was in love with nature, and he's kind of a free spirit, and he decided, I'm going to go live in Alaska.
Yeah.
And he went up there, really wasn't that well prepared. I mean, he had some basic knowledge. And he went into a remote area. When I was in Alaska, we actually saw we went by the road that he got dropped off on when he walked up into the outback, I guess you'd call it, or the bush, they call it up there.
Yeah.
And they're like not far from there. He was living in a bus. Somebody had drug a bus way out there, and that's where he was living. And he got trapped on the side of this river when the rivers were flooding.
Yeah.
He could not get back, and he was starving basically. And everything was going wrong for him. And they've determined that he pretty much ate something that he misread what it was he was eating.
Yeah.
And he ate something that was poisonous and basically killed him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you got to watch. Christopher McCandless is the guy's name.
Oh,
yeah. The book is amazing. I read it before the movie.
Yeah.
But what I'm going to fall back on.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up because I was, you know, it's kind of one of those things. Yesterday, I was actually sitting there. I was like, what am I going to watch on Amazon? Oh,
I've got. Materials.
Oh, classic wilderness living.
Yeah.
The Book of Indian Crafts and Indian Lore. North American Wildlife. Oh, Reader's Digest North American Wildlife.
Yeah. And then these are books right here. They were coming out, I guess, the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
And some project it's called Foxfire.
Okay.
And I remember seeing these at school.
Yeah.
And what it was is people went around in Arkansas in the Ozarks. And they basically went and talked to all these people in their 80s, 90s and stuff that had survived back in these days.
Yeah.
And for example, this one here has instructions on how to do iron making, blacksmithing, flintlock rifles, bear hunting.
Whoa, bear hunting?
Yeah.
That's fiddle making. Wicked.
Well, I'm not going to need a fiddle to survive.
But, you know, if you get bored, you can always have a fiddle to pluck around on.
Sassafras tree, berry buckets, gardening. Animal care. I mean, is that how to tan hides?
Whoa.
Because you can't just cut it off of the animal and just lay it out. There's stuff you got to do to it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In fact, I think you have to, get the brains and...
Some, slurry that they make with the brains and all, this type of stuff. And that series is called Foxfire. So you got 2 through 5. Do you have one?
I have more over there, too.
Oh, okay.
I've got up to, 9.
Oh, wow.
I'm prepared.
Dude, no kidding. You are prepared. Well, I was planning on coming out here. If that happened, I was going to be like, I'm coming out to your place, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a tank right there full of water.
Yeah.
We'll just have to boil it somehow.
That's fine. Yeah.
Get charcoal and filter it through that.
Yeah. And you got a forge so we could make stuff out of metal if we wanted to.
Yeah.
And melt down some aluminum cans and make some really flimsy knives or something like that.
You don't want to be in their city, period.
Were
to happen because...
Well,
and I don't necessarily feel comfortable here because, one of the things we have around here is there's cows and people are going to get really hungry.
Oh, yeah.
And shooting our cows.
Well, see, that was my plan.
First take me out, then just have a barbecue every night. We'd be over here just chomping down all. We're not going to plan it out.
Yeah.
We're gonna butcher one cow every 3 months, and we're gonna learn how to smoke it and keep it and pack it and stuff and preserve it.
Yeah.
Now we're just gonna eat it.
No, we're just gonna eat it. Just eat it raw. It's like sushi cow or something like that.
Yeah.
No, that does kind of remind me of the last Expanse book I just got through was Nemesis Game or whatever, and he had Amos. They had the spoiler alert with the rocks being dropped on the earth or whatever.
I'm so glad you got to that book because when I read, because every book I've had this sense of, well, they're not going to be able to top this catastrophe.
Yeah.
And when they started launching those asteroids and rocks, just basically they just propel them to the earth.
Yeah.
It was the most horrific devastation. It killed how many billion people?
They said, it was saying something 2 billion at the time or whatever, and then they were still counting or whatever. And I was like, good grief.
Yeah.
And so it's got me I've actually gotten to the point now to where I'm how are they going to wrap this up? Because I think that was what, like book six, yeah, book five or book six?
Yeah, yeah. And you've got.
And so you've only got the number nine is coming out this next month. Yeah. And that's the final book. So I'm like, how are you going to wrap all this up within three books? Because there's a lot of stuff that still needs to wrap up. Well, guess
what? The next two books, a lot of stuff happens that you're like, what the heck? And wait till you get to book eight.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I'd like to sit and watch you listen to the first page because you're going to be like, you're going to pick up your phone and look at, am I listening to the right book?
Yeah.
I hope that's not too much of a spoiler. But it's like, what's happening here?
Yeah.
Something's not right. And I told you, I almost quit. I was so angry, but things ended up, it's worth sticking with.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, it's so insane that I don't know where they're going because it's like you said, it's kind of like the whole George R. R. Martin problem with Game of Thrones, trying to wrap everything up.
Yeah.
When he basically said, I've got nine different novels in one novel.
God,
that I have to tie all this stuff together. And I'm like, I don't care about all the little loose ends. I want to get to the end of the story.
Yeah.
They're not as bad as that because they stay really focused on their main core people.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's going to be like the end of humanity. Or is there going to be a happy ending? I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, you know, that's kind of what it seems like it's getting at is this, you know, it's got, you drop these rocks on the earth and you had this craze, you know, and that's one thing like, yeah, James S.A. Corey, they do a great job of writing bad guys because like, and you see the reasoning behind it. You understand why they're so pissed off.
Yeah. You understand why the rebels were rebelling.
And then the kid, you're kind of like, this kid's just so misguided and so misled. He doesn't know any better because he's had this one influence in his life. And it's like, and then you start realizing, oh, well, that's what's, you know, that happens even now with the extremist of whatever faction of religion or whatever.
I mean, if you were born in some other culture and raised by people that believe some really extreme opinion, or you were part of a culture or family that had suffered some really traumatic things at the hands of some foreign people that, and you don't really know why. Yeah. All you know is what you're told growing up, and you can understand why people do things.
Oh, God,
this doesn't make it right.
No, it never makes it right, but it's one of those things where it's like, oh, wow. Like, it kind of put it a whole new twist on it because you're like, oh, well, it kind of, I will say, make sense out of it, even though it doesn't really make sense, period, because the idea of like that style of violence is
still wrong.
It's still wrong, but like it kind of see where it's justified in their brain, basically, because they've been so brainwashed to think this certain way the entire, and that's the only way I can really put it is to say that it's brainwashed because you've been thinking about this the entire time that you can even brainwash yourself to just be like, well, no, this is my narrow view on it, and that's the only way I'm going to see it because it's how I've trained myself to think.
Yeah, yeah, it's.
But yeah, it's crazy.
I can't wait for you to get caught up, and we just finish the series.
Yeah,
and I don't know. It's sad when you get to the end of something like that.
Yeah, it is, man. And like, you know, I finished that, and I was like, man, I got close to going. And just buy it outright buying, what is it called? Babylon's, what is the next one? Babylon's Ashes or
Nemesis game.
Yeah.
The one you just finished.
Yeah. Something other Ashes. I think it's Babylon's Ashes. Babylon's Ashes is the next one.
Yeah.
And so I seriously thought about going and buying that one because I initially screwed up and got Babylon's Ashes before I got Nemesis game. And well, I had to return Babylon's Ashes because I went out of order. But yet I'd already started it, so I kind of already know how Babylon's Ashes starts because it starts with the preacher lady and her wife. And, you know, I think they're in Africa or something like that or whatever with, you know, I think it's like one of the ground zeros or one of the places where one of the rocks hit or something like that or whatnot.
Yeah.
So yeah, I seriously contemplated going and just buying that outright and saying the devil with it, but I didn't. So, I don't know. That might wind up happening this week, but I did start Old Man's War over again.
Yeah.
Because that's a fun, that's definitely a fun book.
Oh, it's, yeah. It's a great book.
Yeah. I just finished up Ghost Brigade the other day. So I've gone through two, and that's another one. So many series I need to pick back up on after I get done with The Expanse, because right now The Expanse is like completely, totally consuming all my time. Like, I need to finish up Old Man's War because there's still like, I think like two more books left in that series.
I did finish. Yeah, I never got finished with all those books either.
Yeah.
I did get into finally the Butcher's book, Proving Guilty.
Oh, you did?
I'm enjoying the heck out of it.
Dude, that one is definitely good because it kind of, it starts off and it's just straight into the action.
Yeah, or whatever. Decapitation, like on the first page.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
spoiler.
Yeah. Yeah. Spoiler. How far into that one are you?
About a third.
About a third.
Not very far at all.
So you're at the convention or whatever?
Near that.
Okay.
Yeah. Getting there.
Cool. Because with Michael's oldest daughter or whatever, right?
Yeah. She's changed a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's neat, man. I'm ready for you to get further into that one because that one's got some twists and turns. I thought whenever you said Proven Guilty, I was thinking of a different one. That is, what's the name of that one? Just a second. You'll have to talk or vamp for a second while I look it up.
Well, I'm not going to vamp or talk. I'm just going to sit here quietly and watch you look at your phone.
What do you want to
do
that
for?
Like
my teenage daughter does all day long, staring at her phone, staring at her phone. I don't know.
Like,
I don't know.
Yeah.
There's funny. We were at my sister's house, and I've got a, my daughter was there and my two nieces, you know them. Yeah. And we got a picture of, they're all sitting on the couch and they're all doing this, just staring at this black mirror.
Yeah.
And, totally consumed with that, rather than they could have been talking to me and enjoying my conversation.
Yeah. They probably, what was it like? They're probably actually texting one another sitting there on the couch.
Probably.
Like, yeah.
I wish Uncle Mike would really just get out of the house. He's so annoying.
Yeah. Ah, crap. What is it?
But we finally started. I told you how we'd got the Harry Potter books, right? I mean, the Harry Potter movies. And we went on a binge of that, my wife and I. And we finished all of those. And then we rewatched Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, the first movie. And we went to see the second movie that has introduces a Jude Law as Dumbledore.
Okay.
And then everybody, all the critics are like crapping all over this movie. And my wife and I are like, wow, that's a good movie. It's complicated and lots of stuff going on. It is kind of a lot of too much information in there.
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking about you while I was watching the Harry Potter movies. And like, we were starting, you're always on my mind. No, you said you tried to watch Harry Potter and it just didn't, you couldn't get into it. You fall asleep because usually it's late at night.
Yeah. I've technically seen all of them so far.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Everybody tells me I need to read the books, that I'll find the books a lot more interesting than the movies. It's not that I didn't like the movies. Just nothing really reached out and grabbed me.
Okay.
In the movies, if that makes any sense.
I get you. I was thinking maybe the problem is the first two movies is really were more made for kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But when they start getting in like these Fantastic Beasts movies, they get dark, dealing with some dark stuff. And the Harry Potter movies kept doing that too. Like the third movie is when it becomes more than just a kid's movie.
Yeah.
Because there's death.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I mean, there's death in all of them, I guess. Yeah. I mean, it starts out Harry Potter's parents are murdered.
Yeah.
He's living under this shadow of death his entire life and being this kid that survived. And anyhow, I don't know. I was thinking maybe if you started with the third movie and skipped those, you might, but you have technically seen all of them.
Yeah. I technically have seen all of them. And then, like I said, it's not that I hate them. It's not that I dislike them or anything like that. Just nothing really reached out and like grabbed me. It was like, oh, these, I see what it is. But everybody also tells me that I need to read the books instead, that the books are like 10 times better than the actual movies themselves. Mm-hmm. And so I've been debating about maybe starting that as, of course, after I finish Old Man's War and after I finish, the Last Kingdom series, to start, the Harry Potter books.
I read the first two books of the Harry Potter books back when I was worked in book selling I got into book selling right at the height, right when it started, when the Harry Potter craze started.
Yeah.
When the first movie was coming out. And literally, we had a movie theater above our store, and people would come out of that, and they would flood. We had to, we sold thousands and thousands of copies every month.
Yeah.
Because people would flood out of the stores and just come through there, and we had stacks all over the, on the floor, you know.
And just people and were gobbling it up.
We'd get boxes and boxes and boxes of the Harry Potter. I read the first two books. The first book is a kid's book.
Yeah.
I think the thing, that's the cool thing she did is she aged the character to where now all, they grew up with the characters, the kids that were reading it when they were 10.
Yeah.
By the time they were like 18.
The Harry was the same age.
Yeah. Yeah. They could identify with that, which was really neat. A neat concept, because a lot of, you know, characters don't really age that much throughout the course of, the series or something.
So I'm going to ask you a question, and I think that you'll be a good judge on it, actually, especially from sitting in this room and you look all around and we're just surrounded by books. It's no, obviously apparent that you enjoy reading a lot. You know, it's kind of like my Star Wars room, except for like,
yeah, we both have our obsessions.
Yeah. No, to me, there's nothing wrong with it. And it's like I said, it's super impressive to see. But in your opinion, what is it? Because to me, there's never been in our age, in our lifetime, hasn't been a craze about a book like what there has been with the Harry Potter book. In your opinion, what is it that drove that craze so much to get these books and to keep up with it? Because like they would, you know, my ex-wife, she would pre-order the book like 6 months in advance, like as, you know, it's still being written or whatever. So that way, whenever she got it delivered to her, she would not only have like a first edition, but she would get it the day that it came out and blah, 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 and, you know, all like that. What is it about those books in particular, that series, that drove people just crazy, wanting to read it, wanting to read more and all like that?
It's hard for me to say. It's like I was saying, I read the first two books, and after watching this movies with my wife, I'm like, I'm going to go through, and I'm started reading actually like on my Kindle, all the books again. And
yeah.
The first book is good. Second book gets better. And one of the things that those two reminded me of is, yeah, there's magic.
Yeah.
A bee on me.
There's something. It was some weird bug. I saw it flying up there, but I don't want to say anything.
I always get attacked by things. What she's a really, J.K. Rowling is a really, really talented, creative writer.
Yeah.
Now, lots of people are. There are lots of people out there that, well, I'm talented and creative. Why can't my book take off?
Yeah.
I don't know. She hit a certain point in time. It does have magic.
Yeah.
But it also reminds me of books I read when I was a kid. They're mysteries.
Yeah.
The kids are the stars. It's not just, and like Harry, young people that I know, Harry is not even their favorite character.
Oh, yeah.
Because they can identify with somebody in the book. You know, Neville Longbottom really is the true hero of all of the Harry Potter books in a way, because he's the one that finally defeats Voldemort by chopping off, or makes it possible by standing up against Voldemort when everybody thought Harry was dead at the end. Spoiler, Harry dies, but then he gets resurrected because he's the chosen one.
Yeah.
And, he comes back and, you know, Neville is going over there to join up. Looks like he's going to go join up with Voldemort, the evil people. And, he's like, no, I'm not going to come over here and join you. I'm standing up for the right thing. And then he's the one that kills the final Horcrux.
Yeah.
So Voldemort is vulnerable, you know?
Yeah.
She respects the kids. She doesn't flinch from dark material in there. There is death. There is complex things that she deals with in the books.
Yeah.
And each book, she keeps getting more and more involved. Because if you look at them, first book's like 200 pages. The books were getting like 800 pages by the end.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I knew that, especially that last book, like it was like a tome just about how thick it was and how. But, it's, that was one thing that's always been kind of like on my mind. Like I wasn't sure exactly like what it was that kind of set these books apart, because
I honestly can't say though, because if I could, I'd have written one myself.
Yeah.
And have a big movie made of my book.
Right.
Because everybody has tried to duplicate what she did.
Yeah.
There are tons. If you look right after her, the success all these good books about schools of magic started coming out, and yeah, a lot of people liked them, but none of them
had the appeal like what Harry Potter. Well, it's kind of like Star Wars. It's basically Star Wars for the books. What Star Wars was to like sci-fi and movies back in the '70s or whatever. Like it was something about the story, something about the hero's journey, something about how it was done, how it was told, how it was made. All of it kind of came together as like the perfect storm or whatever. I guess kind of the same thing with Harry Potter. Like,
she also, and to prove the strength of her writing. Yeah. That bee is in here.
Yeah. He's over here next to my ear. He's going to
get you.
That's all right.
Another example of how strong a writer she is, she started putting books out under other names, Robert Galbraith and, you know.
Yeah.
And these are adult books. And my wife has read the books. I've watched the TV series. It's on Cinemax now. I somehow got lucky and found a way to watch it without having a Cinemax several months before it was available on Cinemax.
Oh, wow.
I don't really know how that happened. It just showed up on my TV one day. Let's just say, but Thief, Cormoran Strike, it's like a detective series, right?
Yeah.
She's good. She's a talented, creative person is basically what she is.
Yeah.
To go back to it, I really don't know what it is other than it's fun. It's like it just hit the right chord, and then word of mouth. You know, that's the big help there too.
Yeah. I can dig it. Yeah. And it's one of those things. Like I said, it's one of those that we might never see that much of a craze over a book series again, because it was kind of odd to have a book series kind of like that to just, well, you landed right on your forehead that time.
Bees are important, but come on.
Right.
I want to catch them.
Oh,
here,
man.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm using my wildlife skills right now, live on the air.
Right. You're going to catch him.
Bee.
And you're going to start a hive. So that way we can have.
I never say the plan out loud.
Yeah. Exactly. I think I had one of those glasses.
These are awesome.
Yeah. I've got some from the Texas Sesquicentennial.
This one's got,
Laurel and Hardy.
Laurel and Hardy in there.
Yeah.
And Rudolph Valentino and Douglas Fairbanks.
That's pretty cool.
We had these.
Yeah.
Sorry, people. Dave and I are just talking here.
Yeah.
Because my room here is just as eclectic as Dave's, just on a different level. I've got stuff stuck everywhere. These cuffs were cuffs my mom and dad had when I was like in the 70s, when I was a little tiny kid. And
I think that's where I've seen them before, was at your parents' house.
When we lived in that little yellow trailer.
Yeah.
Little white trailer. They had these, and this is like, I remember looking at these. I didn't know who these people were when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But I saw these glasses. I think I've got another one or two somewhere. And I saw them at an old junk store, you know, where you just kind of look through and find treasure. I had to have these.
Yeah. The dirt
moss. Roaring 20s cups.
That's crazy. Let me see that real fast. I just want to see if it's got like a date on it somewhere. The dustiness and stuff like that gives it character, if you ask me. I don't see any date on it. I thought it might have like a date of whenever it was made. That's still pretty cool though, man.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat. Yeah.
Get off of me.
See, you just put up your trap and he just came and landed on you again.
Son of a gun.
Dude, I was so.
Hold on.
I was at.
I'm afraid I'm going to be allergic here.
Right.
I'm not killing you. I just want to get you away from me.
I was at a wedding one time, and I was there with my ex-wife, and it was me and my ex-wife and these two other friends of hers from work, and we're on the back row, and it was actually at the place where you and the boss got married at.
Oh, really? In Azle?
Yeah, there in Azle at the Texas A&M.
The armpit of Fort Worth.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, basically. Like,
I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. I don't know anything about Azle. I just know I've gone to comedy shows in Fort Worth.
Yeah,
and it's no joke. Every comedian
hates Azle, huh?
For some reason, they bring up Azle.
Yeah, it's like Garland. Garland's such a piece of crap. Like
the armpit. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, people in Azle. Right. I got married there, and it was wonderful.
Yeah. But,
and then a week later, the place burned down. Interesting.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Well, anyways, they got married at the same place that y'all did. And we're sitting there, and it's kind of funny because we're sitting there, and I like sitting on the aisle, so that way I have plenty of leg room. Anytime I do anything, I like to sit on the aisle. So anyways, I'm sitting here on the aisle.
You got to get an escape route.
Exactly. In case, you know, all of a sudden it just
gets attacks you.
Yeah. That's kind of what happened. Like, we're sitting there, and of course I'm with these three other women there that are, I'm sitting next to my ex-wife. Well, she was my wife at the time, sitting there next to my wife at the time, and then her two friends. Of course, like I said, it's a wedding, so everybody's like in their nice clothes, and they've got their perfume and stuff like that on. And of course, perfume is usually like a flower base or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, like, we're sitting there, and I'm sitting there chilling, and this bee just comes and, like, drifts in front of me, and he comes up to my chest, and he sniffs me, and he's like, nope, that's not what I'm looking for. And it's just funny because I was like, oh, this is going to be great, because I knew exactly what was going to happen. Like, as soon as he got done with me, he was going to go down the row and checking everybody to see which one it was that he was sniffing. And of course, like, I see him, he like drifts over to my wife at the time, and like, she just kind of like has a little like freak out thing, and then he goes down to the next one, and then another freak out thing, and then goes down to the last one. And that was the one that he was looking for, was the last one. It's just one of those like funny things that happen that you're just like, it's great, because like I knew it was going to happen in my head.
Yeah.
But then actually getting to see it happen afterwards was just
great when terrible things happen to other people. Right? Isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, it's good times. Oh man. There was something else I was going to talk about just a second ago that I had to deal with. I don't know. Did you do any Black Friday shopping?
I bought a bag of dog food for $14.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't go into that thing.
I spent some money on Thursday. Just get him.
I mean, one reason I don't have any money, so I'm just not going to do shopping.
Well, no, that's kind of the same here. I don't have any money, but I did see, what do we got here? So Michael is strategically trying to place the cup over top of the bee.
I think I got him.
Awesome. But we have a trap.
I got a problem here.
Uh-oh. Do you need assistance? I can pause it.
Yeah, pause it.
All right.
Okay.
We're back recording. So yeah, that's what sucks about having one hand. So I didn't think that out clearly, because I had this cup. The bee lands on the wall. If it had just landed on the table or something, I could have just set the cup on top of him.
Yeah.
But I landed on the wall behind my computer. And I can't do anything about this, because I can't slide by myself. So Dave had to get up and actually hold the cup for me while I got
a paper card
to slide. And so we got the
bee. It was total teamwork, man. Teamwork.
Bee trap. I'm out of breath.
The great hunters have trapped a bee.
Yeah.
That's our start, man. That's how we begin. The survival after the caldera.
See, it's teamwork. See what? We're not going to survive by ourselves.
No, it's got to be teamwork,
man.
It's
got to be teamwork. Yeah. You got to have people working with you.
Knuckles. Yeah.
Woo! Survival skills 101.
I vote we, like, group up and then go to Alaska.
Yeah.
It'll get cold. It'll be cold, but there's a lot more wildlife per capita to square mile than what there is now.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah. Alaska's... I started listening to, so Joe Rogan, right?
Yeah.
Thanks, Martin. I'd been listening to Joe Rogan for a long time anyhow.
Yeah.
Usually it's like when he had a musician or something on there. But then we got into this Graham Hancock thing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he had a guy on the other day called Steve Ranella. Have you ever heard of him?
Mm-mm.
He used to have a show on Meat Eater or something like that. He's written a book about, he's a hunter, okay. Right? And I don't want to have, a couple of weeks ago we talked about hunting. I don't want to give the false impression that I'm against hunters. I'm all for you if you want to go hunt.
Yeah.
I just believe in using it.
Use it.
I don't hunt personally, but I would if I needed to.
Yeah. No, exactly. It's the same here. I don't hunt personally, but I don't have anything against it. Just use it. Don't kill something just to kill something.
Don't do it. Yeah, because you're a psychopath that just likes blood.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Because I've known some people that they just hunted because they like killing things.
Yeah.
And that's twisted to me.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's neither here nor there. Anyhow, Joe Rogan had Steve Ranella on.
Okay.
Smart guy. He's talking about all this cool stuff that we have. Kind of touches on this interest about he would talk about the ancient civilizations also. He's got a podcast called Meat Eater podcast. I've been listening to it, and he kind of just does this free form. He has a couple of buddies. Sometimes he has a guest, And he will just, he goes into some really interesting subjects. Like he's talking, one of them I'm looking forward to is he talks about the Plains culture.
Oh,
cool. The Plains Indians, you know, their rise to power when they got the horse, how it gave them mobility and the ability to, a lot of, there were some tribes that used to kind of forage and, plant stuff on the eastern, plains and the prairies.
Yeah.
They got the horse and they said, screw this. I'm going after the buffalo.
Yeah.
You know, but anyhow, he had this guy, and it's really compelling, this guy named Buck, who has been living in Alaska in the wild since he was like 19 years old.
Oh, wow.
And he's a guide now up there, and it's just fascinating listening to the, that's the kind of guy you want to go become friends with. Yeah. So we're going to go, if something happens, we're going to find our way to Alaska and go find Buck.
Yeah, okay.
And I do highly recommend listening to that interview because it's the episode is called Buck, You're a Really Cool Guy. Because in the episode, one of the guys goes, he's just telling stories about, yeah, this time I got attacked by a bear, and this time I was in my tent and a bear grabbed me by the leg and pulled me out.
Luckily,
I had my .45 in next to my head and I just shot him in the head. Bear landed on me. Mom and dad run out of the house because they were staying in his house, so he was sleeping out in his tent or something.
Yeah.
He comes out here and he's got his dead bear laying on top of him, and his godfather is going to shoot the bear. And he's like, don't shoot. Because right. They thought the bear was like mauling him.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't know, like he did, that if they shot that bear, they're going to go through the bear and into him and kill him.
Yeah.
And he has all these cool adventures about stuff like
Holy crap, dude.
Buck is a cool dude.
Sounds like it.
And he's one of these guys that he's completely fine being alone
for
like weeks.
Oh, wow.
A lot of people go crazy.
Yeah.
Can you handle being alone?
I think so, man. Cause I do great being alone at home. And that's granted, that's at home. But, you know, even being alone at home with just me and my thoughts, like that's preferable at times, you know. I don't know, maybe it's like, I'm that comfortable with myself or something like that I'm just like, I can sit there and be like, okay, cool.
I will say Alaska is amazing.
Yeah.
We went there for my 10th anniversary, our 10th anniversary last year.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
I can't describe
it. Yeah. I was envious and I was waiting for y'all to. And the pictures
don't, you know, show anything. It's just so vast.
Well, it's like even driving out here, I was like, man, like this is such a nice drive out here, man. Like it's just, you know, hilly and turny and, you know, still flat at the same time to where it is kind of funny where you go from like basically like open plains that's still pretty hilly or whatever, but to like lots of trees and lots of, you know, almost like mesas and stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, granted, they're not as tall enough to be mesas. I guess they're plateaus.
Geologically, this area is kind of weird.
Yeah, it is, man. It is very much so.
Because it's flat, kind of flat, hilly land to the east.
Yeah.
Gets even flatter to the west. But this weird spot here.
Yeah. It's just lots of trees and lots of, it really kind of reminds me of almost like a, I guess like maybe like a Southern Colorado, except for like the hills aren't as tall as like Southern Colorado and Northern New Mexico or whatever.
Some weird erosion happened.
Yeah. Here. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Definitely. And I think it's just cause it's all like a lot of sandstone or whatnot.
Yeah.
But it is
true.
Yeah. It definitely is different geological wise.
Alaska's cool. Seeing the salmon, making the salmon run is amazing.
Yeah.
So many of them. You don't want to show up when they start dying.
I bet it smells so bad.
Miss seeing a bear by like 30 seconds.
Really?
Which I don't know if I'm glad or ashamed of because we tried to actually chase it down and find where it went. I'm like, this isn't smart. We're let's go find a bear. And luckily we didn't find it, I guess.
Well, it's funny because like I love bears. Bears are like my favorite animal. Like I've got like this, I don't know what it is. It's just like an infatuation with bears. I've always dug them. Whenever I was a kid, we went up to, right after I graduated high school, we went to Yellowstone. And the whole time I was up in Yellowstone, I wanted to see a bear. Didn't get to see a bear. Of course, like a couple of years later, some friends of my parents came over here from England and they went up to Yellowstone. It was like my dad, my mom, my sister, and, Margaret and Graham and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
they go up to Yellowstone and like they just see bear like all over the place and like see them like within like 30 feet of them and stuff. And I was like, what the hell, dude? Like the one thing I wanted to see, of course, you see elk all over the place up there. And it's just like, it looks like a cow with big horns, basically.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it's, yeah.
But they're huge, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
The I did see bears, but it's not real close.
Yeah.
I saw porcupine. Really? I walked right up to a porcupine.
See, that's one thing I've never even seen before is a porcupine.
They're really cool looking. He's like, "What's up, dude?" He's just munching on this plant, and I walk right up to him, and he's like, couldn't care less. Yeah. It's beautiful. And, you know, eagles, all kinds of animals got to see. It was just seals in the port. They'd be in there catching fish. You'd see them catching fish and floating on their back, just ripping the heads off.
Really?
I stood there for like 40 minutes with my wife taking pictures of this seal just showing off. He's like showing off for people standing around. This is not like a zoo or this is just in the wild.
Yeah.
He just doesn't care because no one's going to hurt him.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, it is beautiful up there.
Yeah.
If you ever get a chance to go.
I definitely want to go. There's other places on my list that I want to go first. Like, I want to get to Europe first.
Yeah.
I want to get to Europe first, and then I'll finish exploring.
Get in touch with your Viking roots.
Yeah. Then I'll finish exploring America and stuff like that. Like, I've been to Yellowstone, been to Montana. Went to Little Bighorn in Montana.
I have not hit that part of the country. I've always wanted to.
Yeah, that was really interesting. And like, it's kind of one of those things where you can see, like, man, it's such a bad idea. Like, you almost look at it and you're like, dude, what were you guys thinking? Like, there was nothing. There's no cover whatsoever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, anyways, I mean, like, the whole idea of it.
Custer?
Yeah.
He wanted to be president.
Yeah, yeah.
He thought if he could just have a really big victory against the Sioux, he'd get that opportunity. I think.
Yeah,
he had a huge ego.
Yeah, and it shows with the battlefield because it's kind of one of those things where it's like it's really kind of eerie because they've got like markers all over the place where it's really? Like, you know, so and so fell here and so and so fell here, and like you see like the hill, I guess, where Custer was at, and it's completely totally open, but you know he had the high ground, but it's not going to do you any good where there's nothing behind, nothing. There's not even rocks.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what the devil, dude?
He didn't know what he was running up against.
Yeah. No, and that's really it too. Like, they didn't realize in how large of a
overconfidence
force that the Sioux had amassed at that point. But anyways, Black Friday, getting back to
Black Friday. How did we get such a darn, I interrupted you and started talking about.
Well, we had the fly.
And
paused.
Yeah, yeah.
We had not the fly, but the we had the bee, and we paused
here right next.
Yeah,
to me. I'll set them free in a little bit.
Yeah, we said that we were the great hunters, and so I think that's what took us up.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then Joe Rogan.
Well, you know,
somebody's a cool guy.
For lack of a better word, we're consistent.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
Consistency.
Yeah.
Inability to hold a topic for very long.
That's fine though.
But the thing is, I see life as everything's connected, and it's easy to go from one thing to another.
Oh yeah, yeah, for reals. Like, I mean, I could sit here and talk to you for an hour about one subject if I wanted to, but you know, I mean, to me, is that really like all that interesting to sit there and listen to somebody talk about one thing for an hour?
We could talk about bees for an hour. We could
talk about bees for an hour, but I'd rather not. But anyway, so Black Friday shopping. I didn't really go out anywhere. I did it all from the comfort of my chair at the house. Like, it's such a bad thing because, like, sit there and, like, I got a notification. It's like Brian's Toys, this one seller of, like, obviously toys. They basically specialize in Star Wars stuff, and they actually have, like, vintage figures. So I was like, oh, cool. So I got two vintage figures from them, which was awesome. I got like the Royal, the Imperial Guard, and then, an Ewok. So, and I think it spent like, I think it was like $30 for the two of those. So that was like really good pricing because like, you know, one of those would have, dude, I think just the Royal Guard itself would have been like $40, but he was on such a sell. He was like 50% off. And then the Ewok, I think he was like 10, but they're both like, you know, grades them, says like they're C9 condition or some crap like that, which I don't even care about that, you know, just whatever. But, all I want them is to be decent. So that way they look good in my collection, basically.
And yeah.
So I got those, picked up a game, but yeah, it was, I didn't go anywhere to do any shopping because I'm not going to go brave the crowds. I went out one year, and that's whenever I bought my TV.
And that was, and it wasn't really bad because I think it's just Target too, because I went to Target on Black Friday one time.
Yeah.
And that's whenever I bought my TV, and it was kind of nice because I walk in and they were busy. They had a ton of people in there, but you know, everybody was still being pretty courteous and being like, oh, okay. Yeah. No, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was looking for this TV. They had like a 55-inch 4K TV for like $399 or whatever. And I go up and asked one of the salespeople and they're like, oh, I think we already sold out of that. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I still decided to stick around because I was going to get some toys and stuff like that nieces and nephews for Christmas. So go over to the toy section, and for me also, because, you know, I always,
I was going to say that, but yeah. I was going to see if you'd admit it.
I'll definitely admit it. But, you know, I did buy some stuff for them. And so I'm sitting there with my cart and I decided to cut through like the clothing section, and I cut through the clothing section and there it is, like the Samsung 55-inch 4K TV. And I was like, holy crap. What is it doing right here in the middle of this? And they had like a whole stack of them, you know, so I like grab one and throw it in my cart. And of course, it's like one of those things where it's like, I'm walking around. I got this giant TV in my cart because it takes up every bit of the cart and you can't see anything. And people were being cool and like actually moving out of the way. And they're like, oh, wait, you're going to hit this. Yeah. And then I had like a lot of people ask me like, dude, where'd you find that? I came for that. I was like, dude, they've got it hidden over there. It's like next to like the underwear or something to where you totally couldn't see it. But
that's neat. That there. They might've been, somebody probably hid it there thinking.
No. Well, and but it had to have been the employees because it was like the whole mass of them. Like it was like 30 blasted TVs sitting there that I don't know if people had just found yet because it's such a great deal on it. Cause this is like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, it's good times. Yeah, I don't do the whole Black Friday thing. There is a website though that tracks like Black Friday injuries and deaths.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it kind of goes to, we're talking about, could we survive, like being in Alaska, spend a lot of time by yourself?
Yeah.
I kind of lean towards you. That like Black Friday, the big crowds just make me really nervous.
Oh yeah.
Just, you know, talked about this. I've admitted this before. I love my family.
Yeah.
Love my wife's family. I love being around them, but there's a certain point where I can feel my
anxiety getting up.
It's not even anxiety. I just feel like I'm being drained of energy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it's, from being around so many people.
Oh yeah.
And you know, like, I'm not saying it's like being home.
Yeah.
I love being around my wife and kids, but it's when I'm around a large group of people.
Oh yeah.
I start feeling like, okay, I need to get out. I need to go step out and get some fresh air.
Oh yeah.
Be away from this mass of people.
That's why whenever we do our family get together thing at Christmas, that's the reason why, like, I'll be there for like 30 minutes and I'm like, I'm going to go step outside.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that I don't like being around the people or whatever. It's just, I gotta have a decompression moment because everybody's trying to talk all at the same time and
it gets loud.
It gets loud. And then there's that many people in like this small area. So it starts to get a little bit warm and, you know, just things like that. And then plus, like, I don't like to be around that many people like that consistently, just blah, blah, blah. You know, unless it's something like, unless some like loud music's going on or something like that, then it's kind of weird. Like, I'm okay with it. Like, I'll go to any concert basically. But like, if it's, you know, if it's just like a gathering or whatever, you know,
let me
get outside. Let me get out there and relax just for a minute or whatever.
I don't know.
Yeah. But I was going to say it's kind of tied in with it, but did you see the story of the dude who was dressed like a bear who went around attacking people's tents at Best Buy?
Really?
Yeah, on Black Friday. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty
people that camped
awesome, out. I think.
Right? Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, it's actually a pretty awesome one. I didn't read it.
Did you see a picture? Did you look like a bear?
Dude, it was a pretty convincing bear costume.
Good way to get yourself shot. Much.
Yeah, I know, right, dude? I was just like, what the hell? But yeah, where did I see that article at? I would pull it up. I'm not getting a signal right now, so I would pull it up and show it to you. Yeah, it was great. I didn't read much of the article, but yeah, basically dude got arrested for basically scaring the hell out of a bunch of people because he was dressed up as a bear. That, like I said, the bear costume was pretty convincing or whatever. And he was attacking people's tents.
Well, wasn't that guy that sweated all over you, that concert, wearing a bear?
Oh yeah. He was wearing like some bear. He was trying to be a berserker. You know, he had like the bear skull, like it's like the bear rug type thing or whatever.
Mm.
Yeah. It was still gross. He's just like a slug, just all sorts of wet and slimy. And
I can still
If you want it,
you gotta fight for it.
It's good times.
Oh, jeez.
But that puts us at an hour and 10 already. It didn't feel like we've been talking for an hour.
No, the beef felt like an hour bothering me.
I know, but we even paused for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's going to put a cork on it for today. All right. It's kind of funny because Mike, whenever we were texting, I guess, was that earlier today or was that yesterday? You're like, what are we going to talk about?
And
I was like,
last night. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, it's not like it really matters. Like, I'll try to have like some guidelines to try to guide us somewhere, but it just kind of goes all over the place.
Yeah. It's easy to ramp on. I mean, I could go off about Alaska for an hour.
Yeah.
I could talk to you about the Harry Potter books for another 30 minutes, probably.
Yeah.
But, I will say one thing about Harry Potter books.
What's that?
They came along at a time. They kept the book industry afloat, book selling. I mean, that was every year when the Harry Potter book would come out.
Yeah.
It was like everybody got a little bit happier. And not because everybody that works in the bookstore was a fan. It's because, oh, thank God, we're going to make our sales goals for the year and surpass it. That one book would break and make the whole industry's year.
Oh God, I imagine so, because it was like, I don't even know what types of numbers or anything like that, or what type of sales
is ungodly. I had to work the midnight release parties. I did. Usually, I would have to be the person that opened up at 7 a.m. the next day afterwards to like clean up and be there to give the books to people that were coming in, like you said, pre-order the book.
Yeah.
That didn't want to go to the, but the midnight release party for somebody who's not good with big crowds of people. Imagine a bookstore, filled wall to wall with people and they all want one thing. And I had to go up to the very front at the registers and get I was trying to control an entire store and I couldn't do it.
Oh, wow.
Cause they were like pushing forward and trying to get, cause all the books, the books are under embargo. No one can look at them. So we had the books for a week and no one ever looked at them.
You didn't ever open one?
No, cause we could get a chance. Serious chance that you wouldn't get to sell them.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They take it very seriously.
Yeah.
And, they start wheeling the books out and people start going crazy. And I'm like, hey, everybody, just calm down one at a time. We're going to call the numbers because everybody had numbers that go in a certain group.
Yeah.
And they're not paying any attention to me. And I remember this like high school kid that worked there part time. He jumped up on the cash register, the counter.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, calm it down. And everybody just went like quiet all of a sudden. So me, this old dude,
yeah,
no one listened to me. He got up there and he made it happen. And yeah, that's a big deal. I don't know what was compared to it.
Yeah, I can't think of anything.
And one more addition, the Last Jedi.
Yeah.
The way people reacted to it, that's the exact same way J.K. Rowling and the Harry Potter Wizarding World is finally, they're into that position now where everything's negative.
Yeah.
The movie's a good movie.
Yeah.
But they're nitpicking it to death. I've read so many reviews. They're nitpicking it to death.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of people saying the same thing, that it's very similar to The Last Jedi, where like people like nitpick the crap out of it, dude. Like I've heard so many people say it's a really good movie, that they love it and that they don't understand why people are nitpicking it so bad. And I'm like, hey, it's very familiar. And it's like, what caused the hostility in the geek culture per se? Like, I'll use air quotes around geek culture because that's what people call it. You know, to me, it's just pop culture. But what is it that's caused the hostility in like the pop culture? Like, what is it that's causing it? Is it the internet? Because the internet gives everybody a voice.
Yeah, it's part of it.
Is it just everybody thinks that they're entitled to their own opinion? And you're entitled to your own opinion. Doesn't always necessarily mean you have to make it vocal or whatever, that you have to just break everything down and just kill it just because you want to spoil it for somebody else.
Well, even one of the big reasons we really got into this whole Harry Potter mania in our family as a family is because we had a daughter. We have a daughter who's 16 now, going to be 17 soon. She grew up on Harry Potter and was so into it. I don't know if you started recording when I was mentioning how she won this trivia contest at a bookstore she was so into it. She knew every answer, and all these other poor people that were trying to compete, she just shut them down. And that was when she was like 13.
Oh, wow.
She was just shutting them down. And even her reaction was like, well, it's not what I really wanted.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
well, what is it that you wanted then?
Yeah, she has a whole list, and she has valid arguments, but still I'm like, it's a movie. I enjoyed it, and
yeah,
kind of got to get over yourself at some point, because sometimes you're not going to get what you want.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But, it's like, sometimes you got to ask yourself, you might want that in the movie. Like, there was a lot of things that I wanted in Ready Player One. I still really like the movie a lot.
Oh, yeah. I had the exact reason. It's like, I really wish I hadn't read this book.
Yeah.
I wish I'd have read the book after I saw the movie.
Exactly. Cause the book is so good, but yet the movie is so good. And that's what I keep saying is like, you could go and do a whole nother movie of Ready Player One, and you would have a completely, totally different movie than the movie that got released.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, not saying that they'll ever do that. I'd be neat if they did just for grins, but you know, hey.
Oh. I'm just going to see how long I can keep you here talking to me. Did you see the commercial? Have you seen a commercial for the Lion King?
Yeah, dude.
Isn't that amazing?
I was actually going to ask you if you took your daughter, whatever she held her above your head. I can't remember what the line is.
We were sitting at my brother-in-law's, my sister's house.
Yeah.
Watching the Cowboys. I got a confession to make. Yeah. I'm just going to keep talking.
Okay. No, that's fine.
That's the first football game I've watched all year.
Oh, really?
I only watched the first half. Well, no wonder I'm doing so bad at fantasy football.
Yeah, you know.
But that commercial comes on, and everybody in the room, I'm like, people are talking. I'm like, what is – look at that.
Yeah.
And then everybody like kind of just shuts up, and they're looking at the TV. And my brother-in-law goes, is that really? And like, he almost teared up, I think. I mean, he's a cool dude. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, everybody had this emotional reaction, like, this is awesome.
Yeah. And it looks really cool, man. Like, I'd heard that they were doing it. And so I was kind of excited. That's kind of one of those things where it's like, okay, cool. Like, I really like the Beauty and the Beast. Like, but Beauty and the Beast, like, I love Beauty and the Beast. Yeah. I even love the animated version. Like, you can say whatever you want to, but I'm a Disney fan. I love Disney.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, that was one thing I was going to talk to you about is like, man, I don't necessarily plan on being there whenever it opens up, but whenever the Star Wars Lands opens up, I am going back to Disney to check that out. So if y'all want to come, we need to go ahead and start planning right now.
Starting
like budgeting and stuff like that for it, because Disney is expensive, but it's totally worth it. You know,
when is that?
It's supposed to open up next year in 2019. Like, I think it's
doable.
I think it's summer 2019 for Anaheim, and then fall 2019 for Orlando. And yeah. I would rather go to Orlando, because Orlando's a little bit cheaper than what Anaheim is.
Yeah, I'd rather go to
California's so too. Expensive, yeah. Man. Like, it's crazy. But yeah, but you know, and I don't even have to go next year. It can be like 2020 or something like that, or whatever.
The initial rush on something like that is so crazy.
Oh, it's going to be insane.
We didn't even go when the Harry Potter world opened in Orlando.
Yeah.
At Universal Studios. It's a WB movie.
Yeah.
They had the rights to do the theme park. That was so crazy. There's so much insanity being in that little small section of the park. And we spent the majority of our time there.
Oh, yeah.
In the Wizarding World part of it.
I bet so, man.
But like, I don't even know what to expect from that.
I don't either. Like, the only thing I've heard is that, you know, I've read some stuff to where they're talking about the Millennium Falcon ride, and it's like Smuggler's Run or something like that's the name of it or whatever. And it's basically going to be like another thing with like the whole like Avatar ride and the whole, Star Tours ride or whatever, but it's going to be more singular, to where like Star Tours, there's probably like 30 people per pod whenever you're in there, and you're like, you know, on the spaceship or whatever. But this is from what I read, I think it said it was like 6 people per like pod, and you've got like 2 people piloting and then 4 people as the gunners.
Oh, wow.
So it's going to be completely, totally interactive. So I did read that part of it. That part sounds freaking awesome or whatever. But yeah, man, I'm kind of right there with you. Like, whenever it opens in 2019, it's going to be so crazy packed. It's going to be ridiculous. Like, there's no way I'm going to be there whenever it opens. I love Star Wars and I love Disney, but I don't love it that much to be putting up with the amount of people that's going to be flooding into that thing on that first initial day.
Need to check on one thing, and then this is, I don't know if they're going to do it at for Disney.
Yeah.
But we had this option because we did a package deal, and we were going for the Harry Potter the world.
Yeah.
And we did a package deal with a hotel that we stayed at.
Oh, okay.
To where part of our tickets was one day we got to go in before the park opened.
Oh, yeah.
We got to go in to... they broke it down in like smaller groups during the week.
Yeah.
Like, and still a lot of people, but it's so big. It feels like you're alone. It feels like you're special because we walked through the entire Universal Studios park.
Yeah.
To the Wizarding World and got to go in and see it empty.
Oh, that's cool.
So walking into it, seeing the streets, like you could almost like pretty much imagine.
Yeah. Like,
that would be neat.
I know that Disney does something like that. I don't know exactly what it's called. I'll have to ask my friend, like she's the Disney person. She's the one that got me the tickets whenever because she was actually working there or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'll ask her and see what it is because I know that they do something about like, especially with a lot of the like whole like resorts, things like that Disney has that's actually attached to like Disneyland or Disney World and all like that. That like part of the perk of staying at the resort, even though it costs you an arm and a leg, means that you get early entry into the park and stuff too. So, but yeah, man, that's definitely, yeah. I'm gonna do it. That's like a celebration in Chicago in the early 2019 and then maybe late 2019 or early 2020 or something like that or midtime 2020 something. Yeah. I will be going back to Disney because I got to do the Star Wars land just because, and I will stay like at least like maybe two nights at the hotel that they're building for it also.
That's everything I've heard about. That sounds really cool.
Oh yeah.
Like the people that work there are acting like they're part of a crew.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
The rooms don't have windows. They've got screens to make it seem like you're
in space on like some sort of spaceport or whatever and all like that. So I'm like, yeah, dude, that's going to happen. Like I said, it might be just like a night or two nights because it'll probably be expensive as hell. But I will do it because it will be cool. Yeah. You know, just whatever, add whatever to the memory bank there, whatnot. But, you know, it's all good times.
I've kept you long enough.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be right if I didn't go face down in a gutter. Won't admit defeat, though his clothes are soiled and back. Black, not back. I don't know. I screwed it up this time also.
Yeah.
He's a big, strong man with a child's mind. Don't you take his booze away. Oh, I got my Dropkick Murphys tickets also, so I'm stoked about that.
When's that?
It's March. No, February. It's in February.
Where are they playing?
Southside Ballroom. It's attached onto Gillies or whatever. I'm not a big fan of Southside Ballroom. Like, it's okay. I saw Primus there.
Yeah.
It's kind of... It's a big open space where I saw him at the last time was at House of Blues. House of Blues is cool and it's nice and it's set up for like that. The Southside Ballroom just got bad layout.
The Dropkick Murphys that has that awesome song in The Departed, right?
Yeah.
That song. I mean, I love the movie, but every think about the movie, I hear that song in my head.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'll have to toss you some of their stuff because they've got some really, really good songs. Some that you wouldn't even realize that they did. They've got a lot of like old Irish folk songs too that they kind of throw their twist on.
I don't mind that.
Yeah.
At all.
Oh no, that's what I like about them. Like, and that's what kind of surprises people about them or whatever. So anyways, if you enjoy the show, help us grow. Go by, rate us and write a review. Just be kind. We like 5 stars. Winky face. Go to nerdylegion.com/audible, sign up, get two free books and a month free membership. They have thousands of audiobooks with speeches and tons of other programs to listen to all at your fingertips. The cool thing is you don't have to keep the membership, but you get to keep the books, but you're going to dig it so much that you're going to keep the membership. I've been a member for probably close to 10 years now. If you want to get in touch with 2BT between episodes, you can email us at the number 2btshow@gmail.com. That's 2btshow@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter at 2btshow. That's the number 2btshow. And while you're at it, go ahead and like us on Facebook. And that's just 2BT. Granted, we don't really do anything with Facebook. I haven't touched Facebook. Haven't posted anything. But, you know, if you want to go by and follow us on there, you're more than welcome to.
Yeah.
So I think with that being said, happy 1 year anniversary. I'm David.
I'm Michael.
2BT signing out.
Adios.
Feo con Diaz. Gotta get you. Gotta get you B.
Thank you. You're too generous. Oh, thank you. Oh, really, that's too much,
I don't say goodbye. I say may the force be with you.
Awesome. Later, guys.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, heck yeah. I'm just rubbing all over my lips.
Use your mind. You don't use your body. Where do we go with this?
I don't know, but... Exactly. That's 2BT style as we go off the rails all the blasting time.
I don't know if I should say that.
Nope. Nope. Yeah, you know.
It's going to get me in trouble.
Yeah, right. These views are not shared by the 2BT.
Good lord. What? What made me this way? It is hot. It is hot. So hot. Kind of like me. It is hot.
Yeah, I like fish sticks. I like putting fish sticks in my mouth.
What?
Fish sticks.
Good God. Oh. Something went wrong somewhere or something went right somewhere.
Right.
There's a naked chicken there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I used to love her, but I had to kill her. I used to love her. Oh, yeah, but I had to kill her.
Hey, I mean, well, I love you in all sense of the word, all of y'all. But that's man, whatever. I'm the jerk that wrote a million word prequel to the real story.
Dude, I like.
Too well.
Well, yeah. I don't know my words. I just like looking at the funny.
You know your words. I don't know mine. You
get that right. Whole alphabet thing confused. Right. Oh, just do like I do. Give up. Just give up on everything. I don't care. The environment's dying. I don't care. Just give up.
Oh my.
This is fun for anybody listening. Oh my God. Gotta play to win, man.
I want to make love to you, woman. I want to lay you down by the fire. Caress your womanly body. Make it moan and perspire.
Yeah. Water rum.
Boom, boom, boom.
I can either A, clinch it, and hope that my body just reabsorbs it. Maybe it'll turn into a burp.
Burp. Yeah. Burp, burp.
Are you ready for your vasectomy?
Mike, edit this out.
Yeah. I want to be captain of the committee that makes sure you guys don't F this up.
I swear to God, dude, it came out with a vengeance, too. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. Like the... Yeah, it's glorious. Yeah. Santa Claus is real.
Oh, well, look, he's not that bad of a dude.
Straight to the fart noises. There's only one day.
He's a little guy, red hair... that he likes to sing and play his lute.
I don't know, maybe it's my upbringing or something.
I don't know, like, it's just fun. I'm texting. Be like, oh, well, you know, my feats are better than your feats.
And you're an old man and pretty much done.
There you go.
Yeah. Dude.
Everything's better with reverb.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Giant lump of wet dough.
Where do you
from? And I was like, Texas.
Oh, whoa. Well, how dare you say that to little Timothy?
Yeah.
This, by the way, spoilers.
Hey.
I guess it's the Texas thing.
I love my family.
Excellent.
Oh, you want to be a tough guy? I'll be a tough show what tough is.
Go home.
Go home.
Dude, you mind if I sit over here? And he's like, dude, knock yourself out, man. Well, it must be a Texas thing. Don't do that, by the way.
I'm having a brain freeze. Oh, no. And I'm like,
Ujaba of the heebie-jeebies. Face down in a gutter. I don't want to admit defeat, though.
Well, this is not good.
Like, dude, I love it. I love it all.
Whoa, dude. Oh, my God.
Star Wars guys are crazy.
My butt has a cannon.
If you're going to go out, that's the way to do it.
I dig it. It belongs in a museum. Oh, dude, hurry up and get here.
Yeah. Man in black fled across the desert, and the gunslinger followed.
The Last Jedi. Run DMC.
Han, Luke, and Leia.
R2 and 3PO.
Rey, Finn.
Yoda. Kenobi.
Ho.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Chewbacca has to die.
The Palpatine.
It's training you.
Chewbacca. You know, R.A. Salvatore.
This is a good guy. This is a bad guy. This is a good guy. This is a bad guy.
Go. Dang it.
Yeah. But, like, crap. I'm just, like, stuttering and rambling there. Beans are a wonderful fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot. The more you toot, the better you feel, so eat beans with every meal. I have a belief that if the more you fart, the longer you'll live.
No! You don't stop playing because you get old.
Yeah.
You get old because you stop playing.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Ooh.
Nerdy Legion.
NerdyLegion.com.
America. Center of equal daughters, equal sons, all alike and dear, grown, ungrown, young or old, strong, ample, fair, enduring, capable, rich, perennial with the earth, with freedom, law, and love.
My care, great Lord, oh.
I'm